Hello and welcome back to the WOKV Traffic Podcast. I'm Jacob Pickering, and we're excited to bring this podcast back to you now post-pandemic here, and we're looking at what kind of construction projects that have been happening during the pandemic, and we're ready to get this back to you. And if you're new, welcome. If you've heard us in the past, welcome back, and we're really excited to get this started up again, and you should expect some new podcasts about every couple of weeks or so, so stay tuned with us. And today I have a very special guest. His name is Hampton Ray, and he's FDOT District Representative. Hello, and welcome to Hampton.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. You guys may remember Hampton from the last podcast we did, and we've been, you know, really excited to welcome him back. And we're going to jump right into some of the topics that we want to discuss today, especially during the pandemic, is something that I want to cover. And I want to talk about the things that I've been seeing for traffic, you know, in the past year or so, especially in the height of the pandemic. Most of the traffic seemed to, you know, wind down for obvious reasons. Was that something that the FDOT took advantage of as far as being able to get some construction done? It looks like there was a lot of more construction happening, especially during the height of last year and even crawling back into 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. So Governor DeSantis determined that FDOT was an essential function and also capitalized on the lower traffic on the roadway. So we were actually able to advance some of the projects in our region due to the, you know, less amount of people on the roadway. Most of the work typically now today, you know, is performed at night on interstates. So we do that because people are traveling, you know, during the daytime hours, and we want to reduce those impacts to motorists as they're maybe going to work, you know, trying to get home to their families, things like that. So some of the work we actually were able to perform during the pandemic during the daytime. So it's a lot safer, and we can complete work a lot faster and more efficiently when you have ample light. Typically at nighttime, you know, we do have those large construction lights that I'm sure you've probably seen on the roadway. But one thing we were able to do during the day on I-295, we were actually able to place a toll building on I-295 near Jacksonville's Town Center. It may not sound like something that's really cool and kind of sexy, but it's really important for the housing of some really technical equipment that will eventually be a part of the I-295 express lanes. Yeah. We were also able to complete the I-95 diverging diamond in Nassau County. We were able to complete that about 2 weeks ahead of schedule. You know, 2 weeks doesn't sound like a lot of time, but, you know, with weather and really unique circumstances on the roadway, you know, we'll take all the time we can get to get out of the way and let people on the road as much as possible and get to where they need to go.
Yeah, of course. It's been very efficient lately. And I can see that, you know, 2 weeks early is definitely something to be proud of. And it's been really awesome to see you guys just kind of like get everything together and just kind of work almost double time and really take advantage of that. And I think that was smart of the governor to, of course, you know, give you guys some essential functions and let you know, this kind of stuff happen, because it is important, especially, you know, now that everyone's getting back on the roads and, you know, school is getting back and everything's kind of coming back to normal. We're going to see an influx, I'm sure, on the road soon. You mentioned the toll building near the town center.
So the tolls that we have in our region are not your, I always say, you know, not your mom and dad's or not your granddad's tolls. Mm-hmm. These are all electronic, so there's no stopping to pay a toll. You continue to drive. So it's better for traffic purposes. It reduces congestion. It's even better sure. for the environment. You know, you're not idling at, to pay a toll. And then it's also, you know, it's nicer for, folks, 'cause you're not hurting your gas mileage by having to tap those brakes to pay a toll. So those toll facilities and those toll buildings are placed pretty much between Bay Meadows and Gate Parkway on I-295. So they're off to the side of the road. You probably won't even really pay any attention to them. It's basically a lot of technical computer equipment that's in there to make sure that we can collect the tolls. And there's also like some air conditioning in there to make sure that the equipment's protected from the elements.
Of course. Yeah. Well, that's definitely some good news that we can, you know, sort of look forward to, especially when, with the opening of new toll roads and new expressways, you know, pretty much all across our city. You know, I think that the express lanes really help out a lot of people, especially during the rush hour that we see in Mandarin that I've already been up. And, you know, I like the Sun Pass. I like how that works. And, you know, I remember, you know, the toll roads of the back in the day when you're throwing change, you know, into the exit and you're like, you know, people are getting out of the car and asking people for change, or they're like, I don't have any, what am I going to do? And yeah. So I think that, yep. I think it's going to be a good system for us.
I've been, I've been to some places where I'm looking for quarters and I didn't have any. And next thing you know, I was paying more for the toll because I didn't have, you know, enough change. But it is nice that it's all electronic. So you don't have to worry about that. Just, get a Sun Pass if you want to and go forward from there.
Yeah, especially during that congestion right there. Especially, I think it's been a little better since, you know, we've opened up that lane and everything's kind of been open, but still right there at Butler, where everybody has to merge on onto the Beltway. That's always that one problem spot I always see, like every day at 3:30, you know, everything's picking up, everyone's going to the town center or coming from. It'll be really good.
Yeah, we've had a lot of changes in that area. Something that as people return back to work, maybe they're no longer working remotely as much. They're having to go in the office. Just a reminder to your audience, you know, things may have shifted while you were at home. work has been done. So even at JTB and Gate Parkway, kind of the town center exit of JTB, if you will, there's been a lot of changes there, some additional new capacity helping to promote the flow of traffic there on that roadway. So just keep a heads up and make sure that, you know, if you're trying to go shop, don't get too excited. And just pay attention to what other drivers are doing.
Of course. Now, I wanted to talk about another thing that I've been seeing myself lately work behind the traffic center. And it's been a lot of bridge maintenance. And I wanted to touch on that just a bit because I know that we've been seeing it a lot. And, you know, I've been seeing it come up across the Dames Point Bridge, especially both north and southbound lanes. You know, they shut off the right lane. Is it just standard maintenance, or are we expecting like new lights or anything like of that sort?
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Oh.
So we actually are installing new lights on the Dames Point Bridge.
Oh, that was a good guess.
So these are just traffic lights. So they're not for aesthetic purposes. They're for safety purposes. Mm-hmm. So you won't get, you know, brand new views of the bridge, but when you're driving across the bridge, you'll have a safer drive.
Okay.
It's not a project that's too exciting. It does have some long-term lane closures associated with that. So typically we try and clear out of there before the peak hours on the bridge, but inevitably we may need to work a little bit later on the bridge and impact some folks. So, FDOT has a really robust bridge inspection program. So when we do this bridge maintenance, this lighting project is actually separate from a maintenance project, but we have had some maintenance crews on there on the bridge during the same time to inspect the structure. FDOT is required to, by state statute, to review bridges every 2 years, and it's a top to bottom inspection. Mm-hmm. So we have inspectors basically running around all over the bridge, top to bottom, looking at every nook and cranny of the bridge to make sure that it's as safe as it needs to be to allow drivers. Something I always want to stress that when we talk about bridge maintenance and inspections, if the bridge inspectors ever see anything that is unsafe, they will immediately close down the bridge. That's something that they, it would be an inconvenience if that happened, sure, but safety is really our number one priority. So that's our bridge inspectors take that very seriously. So they do a really thorough job of looking at all components of the structure going up tall and, you know, high in the towers of the bridge, and really doing a thorough look at the bridge. Mm-hmm. They take pictures of everything. They review them from 2 years ago. In some cases, we do inspect our bridges more than once every 2 years. For instance, the Main Street Bridge, we're out there pretty routinely, just making sure that things are taken care of. It's a movable structure, so there's more components that you have to think about when we're talking about a bridge.
Yeah, of course. And Jacksonville has so many of them, so it's really nice to hear that, we get those inspections every couple of years, and it's definitely important. I know a lot of people drive them every single day and they depend on them, so it's important. I love that. And that was a good guess on the Dames point, I thought. I was like, is it new lights? It seems like, I've seen bridge maintenance in the traffic before, but this one seems like a longer project. And I was like, there has to be something.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because there's also a bridge for the Intracoastal Waterway on Atlantic Boulevard between San Pablo and really the Mayport.
Yeah.
On that bridge, we're actually doing something called cathodic protection, and it all takes place under the bridge deck. So really, people driving probably won't even know that there's a construction project happening. Basically, what we're doing is we're installing these electric nodes to the actual piers, which are the concrete piles that actually go into the water. They've figured out through a lot of research, FDOT has figured out that if we install these electric components on concrete structures, we can extend the life of a concrete structure significantly longer than if it were exposed to the elements without this electric component. So basically, by adding these electrodes to the bridge, we're able to extend the life by like 25 years before a more robust maintenance project has to come in there and really get in there. So that's kind of the long-term investment for taxpayers. We really want to make sure that we extend the value of our infrastructure and make sure that taxpayers are getting the best bang for their buck. And that's a really good project, I think, that speaks specifically to that. You won't even see it, that it's happening, but it's taking place underneath the bridge to make sure that it's lasting as long as possible.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's some interesting information. I didn't think about, I love hearing about the engineering and the, how you can make something new. And you said that it was kind of a new find, and it's this new kind of engineering project. And that bridge especially gets a lot of traffic, and I think it's going to be awesome to be able to make it last.
Absolutely.
So we're expecting traffic picking up. We're expecting these bridges to get better, and we're expecting a lot of more traffic, I expect, especially within the coming summer, and everyone's going to be traveling again. And I think that everyone, could really benefit from knowing all of the construction projects that are happening, especially if you live in a neighborhood that's new, that's up and coming, or you live in a very highly trafficked area. It's good to know exactly what's going on. And there is a website where you can look at every construction project, right? What is the website, Hampton?
That's right. It's nflroads.com. So NFL, like football, roads.com for all those construction projects. We do our best to get all that information out there. We even have an interactive map on that website that shows what lane closures may be taking place specifically for construction projects. If that interests you, you can kind of plan your route a little bit there. Of course, tuning in to WOKV, always a good option to make sure that, y'all are always on top of getting that information out there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, nothing will stop us from getting the traffic out. That's for sure. So, we're happy to do it. And, I really think that you guys have a lot of wonderful resources. Everyone always asks me, Jacob, how do you get your traffic? And I say, I just go to fl511.com. And the majority of what I need is right there. And they have cameras, they have pictures, they have incidents, they got a map. Anyone can use it. So it's really wonderful. you know, I appreciate you guys for listening. And if you guys see anything traffic on the roads, you don't forget, you can always tweet at me or any of the traffic team at any hour using the hashtag WOKVTraffic. And that comes right to us and we see it immediately as soon as you show it. And, you know, we'll show you a like, maybe even a retweet. It's really helpful when you guys are out there giving us pictures, if you can safely do so, you know, from Twitter, you know, feel free to play with us a little bit and have some fun with the traffic team anytime you can, if you can safely do so, and we'll be happy to oblige. So again, thank you, Hampton Ray, for this wonderful conversation, and we're going to keep the traffic podcast coming, so you guys should stay tuned, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Jacob.
Of course, thank you.